The book of Ezekiel, our sixth study in Ezekiel, brings us to chapter 10, verse 1. And Lord, we ask that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. I looked, and I saw the likeness of a throne of sapphire above the expanse that was over the heads of the cherubim. The Lord said to the man clothed in linen, "Go. Go in among the wheels beneath the cherubim. Fill your hands with burning coals from among the cherubim and scatter them over the city." And as I watched, he went in. Now the cherubim were standing on the south side of the temple when the man went in, and a cloud filled the inner court. Then the glory of the Lord rose from above the cherubim and moved to the threshold of the temple. The cloud filled the temple, and the court was full of the radiance of the glory of the Lord. The sound of the wings of the cherubim could be heard as far away as the outer court, like the voice of God Almighty when he speaks. When the Lord commanded the man in linen, "Take fire from among the wheels, from among the cherubim," the man went in and stood beside a wheel. Then one of the cherubim reached out his hand to the fire that was among them. He took up some of it and put it into the hands of the man in linen, who took it and went out. And so fire is a picture of God's wrath in Scripture. And fire here pictures the righteous fury and judgment of God against his people Israel. Verse 8, under the wings of the cherubim could be seen what looked like the hands of a man. I looked and I saw beside the cherubim four wheels, one beside each of the cherubim. The wheels sparkled like chrysolite. The wheels in this vision especially caught the prophet's attention. Verse 10, as for their appearance, the four of them looked alike. Each was like a wheel intersecting a wheel. As they moved, they would go in any one of the four directions the cherubim faced. The wheels did not turn about as the cherubim went. The cherubim went in whatever direction the head faced, without turning as they went. The angels could move in any direction without delay or without turning. Verse 12. Their entire bodies, including their backs, their hands, and their wings were completely full of eyes, as were their four wheels. And so the eyes of these angels and the eyes, even on the wheels, speaks of God's perfect knowledge of all things. So he judges, it is true, but he judges with perfect knowledge of right and wrong and what a person deserves. 13, I heard the wheels being called the whirling wheels. The wheels did not go haphazardly. There was a voice which directed the wheels, and this speaks of the intelligence of God and that things do not happen in a haphazard way, including the judgment of the wicked. 14, each of the cherubim had four faces. One face was that of a cherub, the second the face of a man, the third the face of a lion, and the fourth the face of an eagle. Then the cherubim rose upward. And these were the living creatures I had seen by the Kebar River. In verse 16 it says, when the cherubim moved, the wheels beside them moved. And when the cherubim spread their wings to rise from the ground, the wheels did not leave their side. When the cherubim stood still, they also stood still. And when the cherubim rose, they rose with them, because the spirit of the living creatures was in them. And so you can see from these verses that there was perfect harmony between the angels and the wheels, and of course God, and that's the key. The whole works was controlled by God. And when everything and everyone is submitted to God, there's bound to be harmony. Let's read verse 19. While I watched, the cherubim spread their wings and rose from the ground. And as they went, the wheels went with them. They stopped at the entrance to the east gate of the Lord's house, and the glory of the God of Israel was above them. These were the living creatures I had seen beneath the God of Israel by the Kibar River, and I realized that they were cherubim. Each had four faces and four wings, and under their wings was what looked like the hands of a man. Their faces had the same appearance as those that I had seen by the Kibar River. Each one went straight ahead. And so Ezekiel is seeing some fantastic visions by God with a lot of symbolism. And we'll move into chapter 11. It says, "Then the Spirit lifted me up and brought me to the gate of the house of the Lord that faces east. And there at the entrance to the gate were 25 men. And I saw among them Jaazaniah, son of Ezer, and Pelethiah, the son of Benaiah, leaders of the people." God's glory has moved from the inner sanctuary now out to the eastern gate, which was the gate that faced the Mount of Olives, which is the place where Jesus ascended into heaven. Verse 2, "The Lord said to me, Son of man, these are the men who are plotting evil and giving wicked advice in this city. They say, will it not soon be time to build houses? This city is a crooked pot, and we are the meat." Well, these elders that were mentioned in verse 1 were doing evil in that they were turning the hearts of the people against the prophecies of Ezekiel. God's prophets were saying, batten down the hatches, judgment is coming. Meanwhile, the elders were saying, all is well, don't worry about it. God's not going to judge. God heard everything that they said. Verse 4, "Therefore prophesy against them. Prophesy, son of man. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon me, and he told me to say, this is what the Lord says, that is what you are saying, O house of Israel, but I know what is going through your mind." And of course, God knows all of our thoughts. And this false sense of optimism wasn't getting rid of the fear that the people had. And they were trying to psych themselves up. And God says, I hear what you're saying. I hear all your positive talk, but I also know that deep down inside, you don't believe a word of it. 6. "You have killed many people in this city and filled its streets with the dead. Therefore, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. The bodies you have thrown there are the meat, and this city is the pot. But I will drive you out of it. You fear the sword, and the sword is what I will bring against you, declares the Sovereign Lord. I will drive you out of the city and hand you over to foreigners and inflict punishment on you. You will fall by the sword, and I will execute judgment on you at the borders of Israel. Then you will know that I am the Lord. This city will not be a pot for you, nor will you be the meat in it. I will execute judgment on you at the borders of Israel, and you will know that I am the Lord. For you have not followed my decrees or kept my laws, but have conformed to the standards of the nations around you." The good people of Jerusalem were the only ones who could have saved the city from punishment. But as we read in these verses, you know, they were killed. And God might have spared the city for the sake of those few righteous, but the wicked murdered them in their hatred of what was right, and they lost their only hope of avoiding total destruction when they did it. So they got rid of the preservative. Verse 13. "Now as I was prophesying, Pelethiah, the son of Benaiah, died. Then I fell face down and cried out in a loud voice, Ah, Sovereign Lord, will you completely destroy the remnant of Israel?" Now, the death of Pelethiah, one of Israel's leaders mentioned in verse 1, confirmed the truth of Ezekiel's prophecies. His death is just the tip of the iceberg, and Ezekiel begins to pray for the nation. He knows God means business. 14, "The word of the Lord came to me, Son of man, your brothers, who are your blood relatives, and the whole house of Israel, are those of whom the people of Jerusalem have said, they are far away from the Lord, This land was given to us as our possessions. And those referred to as Ezekiel's brothers are the Israelites in exile. The rebellious Jews remained in Judah. I should say the rebellious Jews remaining in Judah seem to think that they are God's pets, you know, simply because they have not been exiled yet. Well, they have a false sense of assurance. In fact, we're going to see they've got it completely backwards. 16, therefore say, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. Although I sent them far away among the nations and scattered them among the countries, yet for a little while I have been a sanctuary for them in the countries where they have gone. The Jews in Judah, they really do have it backwards. God will preserve a remnant of his people, but it won't be those in Judah, it will be those in exile. So here they are sitting back in Judah thinking that they are superior. Well, they're not. If anything, they're inferior to the ones who have been taken captive. They continue to get everything wrong. They continue to say things that simply are not true, and they continue to lead the people astray. 17, therefore say, this is what the Sovereign Lord says, I will gather you from the nations and bring you back from the countries where you have been scattered, and I will give you back the land of Israel again. And here is the first promise given through Ezekiel that the people would one day return home. Verse 18, they will return to it and remove all its vile images and detestable idols. And so the people will return to the land, and in their hearts, even more importantly, they will return to God. And here's why. 19, I will give them an undivided heart and put a new spirit in them. I will remove from them their heart of stone and give them a heart of flesh. Then they will follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. They will be my people and I will be their God. In the past, the people had hard hearts, which refused to listen to God, refused to obey God. But God promises to give them a new, soft heart that wants to obey him. God would give his children that type of heart right away, always, if they would accept it. The problem is, they often won't accept it until after they have suffered, and that will be the case with God's people here. 21. But as for those whose hearts are devoted to their vile images and detestable idols, I will bring down on their own heads what they have done, declares the Sovereign Lord. God will welcome anyone who wants him, but he will punish those who insist on putting someone or something ahead of him. 22. Then the cherubim, with the wheels beside them, spread their wings, and the glory of the God of Israel was above them. And the glory of the Lord went up from within the city and stopped above the mountain east of it. The Spirit lifted me up and brought me to the exiles in Babylon in the vision given by the Spirit of God. And then the vision I had seen went up from me, and I told the exiles everything the Lord had shown me. And so Ezekiel testifies concerning the word of God. Probably not a real popular message with those who had already been suffering for quite some time because of their sin. Nevertheless, he spoke the truth. He testified to what God had told him. He testified to what he had experienced with God. And that's all we are called to do by God, really, is to be a witness to what we have been exposed to by God. And that's what a witness does. A witness tells what they have seen or heard to those who need to hear. Ezekiel was a good one. Next time, chapter 12. Until then, so long, everyone.